Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1082, Funky Resumes, update on socialists for Trump and Hitler, the assistants. This is being recorded on August 6th of 2019. This program is obviously an update on the socialists for Trump and Hitler series, For the Record 1061 through 1070, with more material in 1071. And this also will be following on the heels of the Surveillance Valley series that I did, and also will be the first in several programs talking about leaderless resistance, the Turner Diaries, the Skorzeny methodology, lone wolf terrorism, the internet as an information weapon on behalf of, obviously, the far right. And we're also going to be talking about what I believe is quite literally an illegal immigrant or illegal immigration psyop. And that latter is directly connected to what we will be talking about here. In my discussion of not only Bernie Sanders, but in particular AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I have noted my initial reaction to her, which is that she was literally straight from central casting for the purposes of being a propaganda piñata, to coin the term, for the Trump administration and for like-minded elements. In recent days, not only has Donald Trump opened up on AOC, working to make her and her associates in the squad the face of the Democratic Party, but the brouhaha over immigration, legal and otherwise, and border policy has not only ramped up, but has precipitated another mass shooting by an apparent Nazi or white supremacist. By the way, although it has not received a lot of national or international media coverage, the fellow who shot up the Gilroy Garlic Festival was also influenced by Nazi and white supremacist propaganda that he apparently encountered online. The foundation of AOC as a political animal is the internet and social media. She has been catapulted to her position of relative prominence, not only by Twitter and the attention being a deft Twitterer will garner one via the media and the internet, but also because the foundation of AOC as a political animal is a fellow named Sekhat Chakrabarty, a Bengali-American who appears to be a political acolyte of none other than Subhas Chandra Bose, nicknamed the Duke of Bengal over his, or after, I should say, his political idol Benito Mussolini, whom he traveled to Italy in 1935 to meet so that he could give him Mussolini, that is, a copy of his book. But Subhas Chandra Bose was so prominent in the Axis hierarchy that he networked with and achieved face time with not only Mussolini but Adolf Hitler, SS Reichsführer or Reichsführer SS Heinrich Himmler, into whose Waffen-SS forces Bose's European combatants were ultimately folded. He networked with Karl Haushofer, with the Black Dragon Society. He got face time with Emperor Hirohito of Japan and with Prime Minister Hideki Tojo of Japan. He recruited 90,000 combatants on behalf of the Imperial Japanese. And perhaps most importantly for our purposes, by the way, Subhas Chandra Bose appears to have faked his own death. But Subhas Chandra Bose has a direct and profound sphere of influence, not only in the contemporary Indian political sphere, but in the world of tech as well. India has a booming IT sector. No one familiar with high tech in the U.S. could fail to note the profound influence of Indian Americans in high tech, not Native Americans, but Indian Americans. And on September 11th of 1942, Subhas Chandra Bose founded the Deutsche Indische Gesellschaft, which is now headed up by his grandnephew. That is the largest bilateral organization in Germany. It has 27 different chapters. And Kumar Saraya Bose, or Saraya Kumar Bose, his grandnephew and the political acolyte, also heads up the German-Indian Business Roundtable. Both of those organizations are instrumental in funneling Germans into the booming Indian IT sector. Narendra Modi and his Hindutva fascists in India have benefited profoundly from the world of tech. He was put in power in part by Pierre Omidyar. And Facebook, as we looked at in 1074, has had much to do with solidifying the political fortunes of Narendra Modi. Modi himself is now affecting an above-board political rehabilitation of Subhas Chandra Bose, having named islands, a university, a stamp, and a coin for Subhas Chandra Bose. Sekhat Chakrabarty, whom we will talk about, for all intents and purposes, is AOC. He is the foundation of her political gravitas. He was her chief of staff, was her campaign manager, founded the organizations that helped to finance her campaign, as we will see. And he himself has a very interesting political background. He went to his position as the lead engineer for an online payment company called Stripe. We'll talk more about that in our next program. He may very well be and appears to have been part of a contingent that came in behind a funding block or a funding grant to that company's startup or venture capital that came from a financial consortium put together by none other than Peter Thiel. He is the top dog in Palantir, the surveillance company that not only developed the PRISM software, but that handles the electronic surveillance for ICE, the very company or the very government agency that AOC wants to eliminate. So, Sekhat Chakrabarty went to that position from being a technology associate at none other than Bridgewater Associates. That is the largest hedge fund in the world. It did a lot of the capitalization of Palantir that handles surveillance for ICE, and that is headed up by Peter Thiel, the big Trump supporter who not only doesn't believe in democracy, but doesn't think women should be allowed to vote. And I would also note that Bridgewater Associates, in addition to being the largest hedge fund in the world, had as its chief counsel none other than James Comey, who went on to head up the FBI and whose shenanigans during the 2016 campaign had much to do with helping to elevate Donald Trump into office in the first place. I have maintained explicitly that AOC, and although I think she may be an unwitting useful idiot, that was my take to begin with. Now I'm not so sure. In the age of mind control, it is impossible to tell, but at best she is an egotistical and very self-righteous cynic, if not an actual operative. But she has turned out to be exactly the disruptive element in the Democratic Party that I think she was elevated in order to do. I think, Bernie Sanders, AOC is a ringer. She is the political equivalent or the electoral equivalent of an agent provocateur, and I think she was elevated into office specifically to destabilize the Democratic Party, to make the Democratic Party immigrants or us, so to speak, and to benefit Donald Trump and to benefit the white supremacists who are a key element of the Trump political milieu. Sekat Chakrabarty tweeted out a bunch of messages, ironically enough, finding fault with Democrats, comparing them to some of the Dixiecrats of the 1940s. For a guy that goes around wearing Subhas Chandra Bose t-shirts, Sekat Chakrabarty has a lot of nerve talking about the political misdeeds of Democrats in the 1940s, considering that the Duce of Bengal, of whom he is an apparent acolyte, not with Hitler, Mussolini, Himmler, Emperor Hirohito of Japan, General Prime Minister Hideki Tojo, and was generally a major element in the Axis pantheon, felt that India should be a dictatorship after it won independence. That is just the surface of the Subhas Chandra Bose constellation or political constellation, as we looked at in previous shows. But again, note that Sekat Chakrabarty went to his position at Stripe, and where he apparently, and it may very well have been, a business protege of Peter Thiel. He went to that position from Bridgewater Associates. That is the largest hedge fund in the world. It helped to capitalize Peter Thiel's Palantir that handles surveillance for ICE. And its general counsel was James Comey, whose activities during the 2016 campaign, including reopening the inquiry into Hillary Clinton's emails a little over a week before Election Day, had much to do with the narrow victory that Donald Trump won. Thanks basically to gerrymandering and voter suppression, the fact that 48% of the eligible voters did not vote, and the fact that almost 3 million more people voted for Hillary Clinton did not make the difference. But James Comey did make a large part of the difference. And note the irony of Sekat Chakrabarty going from Bridgewater Associates, the world's largest hedge fund capitalizer of Palantir, general counsel was James Comey. Then he goes and suddenly, wow, we need socialism and we have to purge the influence of big money from politics. This is what you see with a ringer. This is what you see with the electoral, and legislative equivalent of an agent provocateur. They infiltrate for the purposes of blowing up. And I think that is exactly what Subhas Chandra Chakrabarty did. By the way, there is a link in the description to this show to the YouTube video with Sekat Chakrabarty running off at the mouth about how wonderful AOC is and what a victim she is. He actually has, I think, a perceptible twinkle in his eye, because he's got Subhas Chandra Bose on his t-shirt, and there is no way an Ivy League educated Indian wouldn't know just exactly who the hell Subhas Chandra Bose was. Again, the Duce of Bengal was his nickname. Well, Sekat Chakrabarty has turned out to be exactly the divisive element I thought he would be. More about AOC in that regard later, and he just resigned this past week. More about that in a minute.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at SpitfireList.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
The New York Times of July 13th of 2009 had an article by Katie, C-A-T-I-E, Edmondson, E-D-M-O-N-D-S-O-N, top Ocasio-Cortez aide becomes a symbol of Democratic division, unquote. This is the war in the Democratic Party that he and his associates promised to ignite. Note the irony of AOC's legislative assistant, Dan Riffle, R-I-F-F-L-E, characterizing fellow Democratic congressional aides as Ivy League careerists. Well, very interesting. Shortly after arriving to Capitol Hill, AOC's legislative assistant, Dan Riffle, gave an interview in which he described fellow Democratic congressional aides as Ivy League, quote, careerists, unquote, who, quote, don't think big and aren't here to change the world, unquote. Skipping down. After graduating from Harvard University, Sekhat Chakrabarty worked for a year as a technology associate at the hedge fund Bridgewater Associates, parenthetically, the largest hedge fund in the world, and then moved to Silicon Valley to help found the technology company Stripe, parenthetically, may very well have done so as part of a crew installed following the capitalization of Stripe by an association of venture capitalists put together by Peter Thiel of Chakrabarty. He is presumed to be rich, but has not filed a financial disclosure form, leadership aides say. Because Ms. Ocasio-Cortez capped her senior aides' salaries to ensure she could offer an entry-level wage of $52,000, her employees are below the income threshold that mandates public financial disclosure. Instead, a House ethics panel required her to compel at least one of her aides who can, quote, act in the member's name or with the member's authority, unquote, to file a disclosure form. Ms. Ocasio-Cortez chose Mr. Riffle, the legislative assistant, to submit the disclosure rather than Mr. Chakrabarty. In March, a conservative group filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission saying that Mr. Chakrabarty improperly disclosed the spending of two political action committees he helped establish that paid more than $1 million in 2016 and 2017 to a company he ran. The company, Brand New Congress LLC, was an arm of a group he helped found by the same name that recruited community organizers as candidates who would all adopt the same transformative progressive platform. In turn, the group would contract their staff out to help run the candidates' campaigns. To do this, Brand New Congress argued, the group had to be set up as a limited liability company, which is not required to disclose information about its owners or spending. Chakrabarty has now resigned. I would note in what is discussed in that article, also the article I'm about to read from the conservative New York Post, and in a long blog post from the Medium, good people don't do what AOC and company are doing. I don't know, I'm not expert on campaign finance law. I don't know if the things that Chakrabarty and company did are actually illegal under campaign finance law. They certainly stink. And the fact of the matter is that AOC or Team AOC are guilty of just exactly the same sort of financial shenanigans, whether or not they are actually illegal under campaign finance law, that they accuse others of engineering. And we're also going to get into how not only are the activities that these groups engage in different from what they are supposed to engage in, but we're going to take a look at AOC's resume, which is funky as well. I do think there is a question about fraud. I don't know what sort of solicitation some of these groups engage in, but there may be a question of fraud in connection with the entities set up by Subhas Chandra Chakrabarty, as I call him. And lest I be misunderstood, I think this is exactly what was intended. I think that the AOC candidacy is a ringer. I think Chakrabarty is, in fact, every bit the fascist he appears to be, but he is acting undercover. Again, going from the largest hedge fund in the world, Bridgewater Associates, to a campaign and a political milieu that is determined to purge the influence of big money from politics. Yep, sure enough. Anyway, Sekhar Chakrabarty has shuffled off to Buffalo, or rather off to a Green New Deal pack. From the New York Post by Mary Kay Ling, L-I-N-G-E, and John Levine of August 3rd of 2019, feds probing AOC's Chief of Staff, Sekhar Chakrabarty, after sudden resignation. The feds are looking into possible campaign finance misdeeds by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Chief of Staff and lead rainmaker who suddenly resigned Friday, federal sources told The Post. The inquiry centers on two political action committees founded by Sekhar Chakrabarty, the top aide who quit, along with Ocasio-Cortez spokesman Corbin Trent, the sources said. Trent left to join the Congresswoman's 2020 reelection campaign. The brash Chakrabarty, who masterminded Ocasio-Cortez's campaign and steered her proposed Green New Deal and is her chief of staff, had caused uproar in the halls of Congress with a series of combative tweets that contributed to a rift between his rookie boss and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Skipping down. The two PACs being probed, Brand New Congress and Justice Democrats, were both set up by Chakrabarty to support progressive candidates across the country. By the way, Brand New Congress is actually, as we will see, channeling money to Republican candidates. I wonder, but they're progressive Republicans. That is an oxymoron. I wonder how many of the people who gave money to Brand New Congress or vouched for Brand New Congress realized that they are channeling money. They are supporting Republican candidates. More about that later. The two PACs, being pro-Brand New Congress and Justice Democrats, were both set up by Chakrabarty to support progressive candidates across the country. But they funneled more than $1 million in political donations into two private companies that Chakrabarty also incorporated and controlled, according to Federal Election Commission filings and a complaint filed in March with the regulatory agency. In 2016 and 2017, the PACs raised about $3.3 million, mostly from small donors. A third of the cash was transferred to two private companies whose names are similar to one of the PACs, Brand New Congress LLC and Brand New Campaign LLC, federal campaign filings show. And it goes on to talk about how this maneuver has legally empowered a lack of transparency and how the financial activities around this are altogether opaque. Note, skipping down, they may also have violated the $5,000 limit on contributions from federal PACs to candidates, according to the complaint. It is not known if any of that money flowed to Ocasio-Cortez's campaign. Federal authorities are looking at new salary rules imposed by Ocasio-Cortez when she took office earlier this year, and whether they were put in place to let Chakrabarty dodge public financial disclosure rules, according to sources. Although Ocasio-Cortez raised the salaries of junior staffers in her office to just over $52,000 a year, Chakrabarty took a massive pay cut. The Harvard graduate and tech millionaire agreed to an annual salary of $80,000, far less than the $146,830 average pay for his position. Because his salary was less than $126,000, congressional rules exempted the chief of staff from having to disclose his outside income. Interesting, that is. Before we do a fairly deep dive into AOC's resume and to the activities of Sekhar Chakrabarty and the entities that he helped to create, Cenk Uygur is also behind Brand New Congress. We have talked about him in the past. He also is a Ivy League careerist, unquote, having graduated from the University of Pennsylvania. Chakrabarty graduated from Harvard. From his Wikipedia entry, in college and law school, Uygur espoused politically conservative views during the presidencies of Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush. He wrote a column in the Daily Pennsylvanian criticizing the University of Pennsylvania's practice of affirmative action. He was pro-life on abortion, criticized feminism, and argued that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas was treated unjustly during his Senate confirmation hearings. In 1991, Uygur wrote an article in the Daily Pennsylvanian in which he promoted Armenian genocide denial. He reiterated this position in a letter to the editor of Salon in 1999. He was 29 years old at that point, born in 1970. In a blog post in April of 2016, he rescinded the statements. He was 46 at this point. He went on to claim that he does not know enough today to comment on it. Uygur slowly transitioned away from the Republican Party and has said that the decision to invade Iraq was a seminal moment, unquote, in that transition. Again, I simply put, I don't believe it. The guy is a denier of the Armenian Holocaust at the age of 29. At the age of 46, he says, well, I just don't know. I don't buy the whole thing. I think he, too, has undergone the process known as sheep dipping. I think he is a left cover reactionary slash fascist, just like Subhas Chandra Chakrabarty. Again, no Harvard-educated Bengali American who is what Chakrabarty would have us believe he is going to do a YouTube video with wearing a Subhas Chandra Bose T-shirt. No way. It would have been Gandhi on there, not Subhas Chandra Bose. And I don't buy Cenk Uygur either. Pro-life on abortion, criticized feminism, and denies the Armenian genocide. And then all of a sudden he goes, wow, wait a minute, we need socialism. Yeah, right, just like Sekhar Chakrabarty, who is working for the largest hedge fund in the world. Then he immediately says in 2016, wow, we need socialism, and we have to purge the influence of big money from politics. Nope. I think this is an operation, basically, a political psyop. And I think that Trump's targeting of AOC is basically part of that psyop. I think it was preordained, and I would not be in the least little bit surprised to see if the Sekhar Chakrabarty AOC milieu implodes slash explodes for propaganda purposes during the coming campaign. I would not be surprised if the Chakrabarty AOC liaison ultimately becomes to the 2016 campaign what Hillary Clinton's emails were. And bear in mind that the legal counsel for Bridgewater Associates, for whom Sekhar Chakrabarty worked, was none other than James Comey, who was behind that when he became head of the FBI. That AOC is a ringer intended to do just what she is doing. And in addition, by the way, to attacking moderate Democrats. She is branding the Democratic Party as, again, immigrants are us. The Democrats are the party of illegal immigrants. That is the propagandistic cachet that AOC has sought to bring to the Democratic Party, and basically that Donald Trump is hitting her about. Again, I would not be surprised if AOC and Chakrabarty blow up with investigations of the kind of things that we are about to discuss. And I think that I think she is basically a vehicle for doing exactly that. Socialists for Trump and Hitler, the assistants, is the subtitle to this series. And in our next program, we're going to talk about indications of the immigrant op, the immigrant psyop. More about that, however, next week.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
From the Medium blog of exactly 1 year ago today, August 6th of 2018, an article by someone who writes under the name of Portless Glam. Not here for progress. Meet the Tea Party-esque insurgency seeking to, quote, rebuild the Democratic Party from scratch, unquote. Now, notice AOC's resume. Notice the activities of Justice Democrats, brand new Congress et al. Good people don't do things like this, whether or not they are actually illegal. I am not familiar with campaign finance law. It does appear to me that Justice Democrats and brand new Congress might be open to charges of fraud, depending on how they go about soliciting funds. Again, that depends. From the Medium of August 6th of last year, 2018. Over a few short months, a media blitz, subtitled Internet / Social Media Blitz. Again, this is against the background of Surveillance Valley that we talked about. Over a few short months, a media blitz has transformed little-known Bronx congressional candidate Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez into the fresh new face of progressive politics in America. However, independent research into her background and funding has revealed Democratic socialist, unquote, Ocasio-Cortez is neither a progressive Democrat nor a good faith candidate. And for someone with an economics degree, one of the only claims on her resume that checks out, the 28-year-old candidate has a lot to learn about campaign finance and election law. At any other time, Ocasio-Cortez's myriad red flags, her unlikely victory, antagonistic rhetoric, national amplification, and shady funding would beg media scrutiny. After all, the pattern eerily follows that of the Tea Party movement that began in 2010 as a, quote, conservative, unquote, backlash to Republican losses. This new breed of supposed, quote, progressives, unquote, with their radicalized anti-establishment fervor, appear to have more in common with that far-right insurgency than either group has with mainstream American politics. But we are not living in ordinary times, a situation Ocasio-Cortez and her, quote, progressive, unquote, posse are all too willing to exploit to accomplish their destructive goals. As natural as any evolution, the Bernie or bust influence operation that infected our 2016 election is alive, well, and adapted for survival. Its new useful idiots are Ocasio-Cortez and the murky entanglement of two new Political Action Committees, or PACs, founded by the Young Turks, scandal-plagued host Cenk Uygur, and a group of tech-savvy ex-Bernie campaign staffers. The next chapter, who vetted Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? There are only three qualifications to become a representative in the U.S. Congress. Be at least 25 years old, a citizen for 7 years, and reside in the state at the time elected. Still, Americans have come to expect a certain level of professional accomplishment from their candidates. A fact check of Ocasio-Cortez's biography reveals that much of her background as a, quote, young entrepreneur, unquote, appears entirely contrived. For instance, Ocasio-Cortez lists herself as founder of Brook Avenue Press. On financial disclosure reports, in media coverage, the company is described as a publishing house that develops urban literature for children. In reality, the venture was an idea then 22-year-old Ocasio-Cortez had in 2012 when she rented a $195 a month workspace from the now defunct Sunshine Bronx Business Incubator. That corporation was dissolved or annulled in October of 2016 due to inactivity. The web domain is for sale, and no published literature by the company could be found. Next, in her Boston University alumni bio, Ocasio-Cortez bills herself as lead educational strategist for GAGEIS. A study of this Delaware LLC is a Pandora's box of bizarre revelations. The company is owned by Chaimi Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi, an Israeli serial entrepreneur, unquote, who also owned the failed Sunshine Bronx Business Incubator. According to Yerushalmi's LinkedIn profile, the self-described visionary, unquote, leads a, quote, collective of professionals, entrepreneurs, artists, and students of life, unquote, who gather on a commune in Bridgewater, Vermont, called the Pink Community, unquote. The town newspaper reports that Vermont locals had not been thrilled with the, quote, party house, unquote, which, quote, sits on 21 acres and has four bonfire pits, a house they call the cabin, unquote, a giant 22-foot sacred teepee, and a separate farmhouse. The property is worth about $825,000. While Ocasio-Cortez's association with Yerushalmi suggests Ocasio-Cortez is a disciple of this business guru, unquote, it is unclear what real work Gage Is does. The website archives to an error, and his $30 an hour Upwork profile has no hours billed. The inconsistencies don't end there. In Ocasio-Cortez's New York City Campaign Finance Board profile, she claimed to have been a, quote, foreign affairs and immigration liaison, unquote, for Ted Kennedy, who died in 2009 when Ocasio-Cortez was 19 years old. This has been described elsewhere as a college internship. She also lists previous occupations as microfinance practitioner and maternal health study Niger West Africa and metrics and social design, the purpose economy imperative, both of which appear to have been undergrad experiences. The only professional claim that does check out is Ocasio-Cortez's work with the National Hispanic Institute. She lists herself as an educational director, unquote, on her financial disclosure with a 401k but no reported income. Recently, she was named 2017 Person of the Year by the organization. A feature article on their site suggests she has had a relationship with the organization since high school and that her position is a volunteer one. All said, Ocasio-Cortez only earned income from her food service positions in 2000 and 2017, totaling around $43,000 and $27,000, respectively. The next section is Ocasio-Cortez really from the Bronx? It's difficult to confirm more about Ocasio-Cortez's background since the candidate's previous Twitter account appears to have been deleted. Her LinkedIn profile is essentially blank, and web archives for her campaign show a changing story over time. But residency information can be gleaned by fact-checking her current campaign bio against prior statements. Ocasio-Cortez has claimed to be a third-generation Bronxite, unquote, from a, quote, working-class, unquote, family. An enormous part of her aggressive rhetoric against incumbent Joe Crowley concerned the 10-term congressman living outside his district. Yet in the profile Ocasio-Cortez used to launch her candidacy, she wrote, quote, "We started our journey in the Bronx, but were forced to leave our neighborhood in search of public schools with more to offer than a 50% dropout rate," unquote. She graduated from the predominantly white Yorktown High School located in Yorktown Heights, New York, where the average household income is $141,254 and average household net worth is $1,192,838. In 2016, Ocasio-Cortez was quoted in a Think Progress article where she described herself as a Westchester County voter, unquote. The article referenced a Reddit post where she wrote of her 2012 post-Hurricane Sandy voting issues. "I was stuck in New York City and voted outside my precinct, and apparently when I signed that affidavit, my party affiliation was waived. It is also uncertain whether running in the Bronx 14th District was Ocasio-Cortez's first choice. Her initial statement of candidacy submitted to the Federal Election Commission listed her running in the 15th. It was amended shortly thereafter. After serving as a volunteer field organizer for Bernie Sanders' 2016 campaign, Ocasio-Cortez was recruited by Justice Democrats, a hostile and shady PAC launched in January 2017 by the Young Turks scandal plague creator Cenk Uygur and Sekat Chakraborty, the former director of organizing technology for Sanders' campaign. Justice Democrats are closely affiliated with Brand New Congress, another PAC launched by Chakraborty in April of 2016, alongside former Sanders advisor Zach Exley and former Sanders campaign coordinator Corbin Trent. Both Justice Democrats and Brand New Congress were founded with the goal of harnessing the momentum and fundraising muscle of the Sanders campaign. A review of the core staff reveals significant crossover and a musical chairs of board members between the two. Ocasio-Cortez herself assumed a leadership role with Justice Democrats sometime in 2017, thereby effectively vetting herself for the role of candidate. Until July, Ocasio-Cortez was listed as one of two board members for Justice Democrats whose PAC mission at the time of launch stated, quote, "The solution is not unity with corporate-backed Democrats. It's time to rebuild the Democratic Party from scratch," unquote. Yeah, scratch coming from Bridgewater Associates, the largest hedge fund in the world. Continuing, operationally, the PAC sought to recruit, train, and run candidates across the country to primary incumbent Democrats, not because they themselves were Democrats, but because, quote, it is next to impossible for a third-party candidate to win a national election, unquote. Justice Democrats' website includes the disclaimer that it is not, quote, authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee, unquote. Yet Ocasio-Cortez held legal control over the dubious fundraising entity while simultaneously running as a PAC-endorsed candidate, even filing her statement of candidacy from their Knoxville, Tennessee address. Brand new Congress, the PAC we now see Ocasio-Cortez crisscrossing the country helping to promote, has the perplexing mission of, quote, attempting to recruit congressional candidates to run as Republicans in red districts, unquote. One more time. Brand new Congress, the PAC we now see Ocasio-Cortez crisscrossing the country helping to promote, has the perplexing mission of, quote, attempting to recruit congressional candidates to run as Republicans in red districts, unquote. And while Ocasio-Cortez has been criticized for her post-primary national campaigning, that appears baked into the strategy with brand new Congress. Skipping down. Where did all the money go? The national spotlight may be great for fundraising efforts, but may prove unwise for a group of political novices inexperienced in federal campaign finance regulations. An analysis of FEC filings shows that their network of PACs, LLCs, board, and staff navigate in the same legal and ethical gray area their entire anti-dark money platform is based on combating. Beginning with Justice Democrats, the PAC has raised $2,100,399 over the course of the 2017-2018 election season. Yet over that same time period, the PAC has made zero independent expenditures in support of any candidates. In fact, dozens of candidates have instead made payments to Justice Democrats. A view of disbursements reveals that of the $2,026,298 spent to date, over $600,000 for strategic consulting services was directed to Brand New Congress LLC, a business entity controlled by Chakraborty. Another $1 million in contributions has been directed to ex-Bernie Sanders staffers or their firms. This includes $222,000 to Middle Seat Consulting LLC, run by Brand New Congress co-founder Zach Exley, by the way, a Bernie bot, and about $800,000 and in salaries and payroll costs. Because those LLCs have not disclosed financial reports, the public has no way of knowing what that money was used for. In-kind contributions directed towards PAC-endorsed candidates were found to total less than $29,000 for services like Facebook ads, phone banks, operating costs, and communications software. Yet at the same time, about $35,000 were paid to Justice Democrats by these candidates and registered as either other receipts, operating costs, or, quote, offsets to operating expenses, reimbursement of operating costs. Again, in-kind contributions directed towards PAC-endorsed candidates, again, from this brand new Congress, were found to total less than $29,000. Yet at the same time, about $35,000 was paid to Justice Democrats by these candidates. Skipping down. Due to this lack of independent expenditures to candidates, the Federal Election Commission rejected the PAC's filing for multi-candidate status at the end of 2017. In its letter, the FEC alleged Justice Democrats had erroneously claimed contributions to five candidates in Texas. A review of brand new Congress PAC filings demonstrate a similar movement of fundraising donations into the pockets of ex-Bernie, quote, consultants, unquote. Of the $477,688 raised, no independent expenditures to candidates were made, yet $261,000 was paid to Brand New Congress LLC, and over $100,000 was dispersed as salaries or payroll costs. Again, of the $477,688 raised, no independent expenditures to candidates were made, yet $261,000 was paid to Brand New Congress LLC, and $100,000 was dispersed as salaries or payroll costs. Ocasio-Cortez's campaign committee filings show disbursements to Brand New Congress LLC and Justice Democrats alongside other serious issues. On July 19th, the FEC sent a letter to Ocasio-Cortez's committee treasurer outlining multiple accounting inaccuracies and requesting, quote, information essential to full public disclosure of your federal election campaign finances, unquote. The FEC has requested response by August 23rd and is considering, quote, audit or enforcement action. The entire premise of the Justice Democrats and Brand New Congress anti-establishment platform is a drive to remove corporate, lobbyist, and dark money from politics. Yeah, just like Bridgewater Associates. I mean, forgive me, reading this, I don't know whether to laugh or puke. I mean, it is so bad. But, heck, people may wonder why I say so-called progressive sectors so often. This is why. And they have a lot of company. And by the way, I think you're going to hear a lot about this in the 2020 campaign. Trump, the people around Trump know exactly what they're doing when they attack, quote, the squad, unquote. And AOC is going to be positioned as the face of the Democratic Party, unless Nancy Pelosi and the rest know what to do about that, and I don't. But it's going to be illegal immigrants are us. AOC is the Democrats. And then all this funky stuff comes out here about all the stuff they're doing. Hurrying up here because we're running low on time. The entire premise of the Justice Democrats and Brand New Congress anti-establishment platform is to drive to remove corporate lobbyists and dark money from politics. The PACs blame the corporate wing for breaking, unquote, the Democratic Party. Every candidate is asked to take a no corporate PAC pledge, unquote. But this conveniently obfuscates another problem related to money in politics, scam PACs that use fundraising as a vehicle for personal profiteering. And then there is talk about scam PACs and assessment of same. The parties profiting from Justice Democrats and Brand New Congress are not naive to the perception issues their use of funds has created. For this reason, they sought to clarify in increasingly convoluted ways the tangled financial structures and relationships between the PAC's LLC's board and staff. Their explanation can generally be summarized as this. The groups structured themselves as a PAC in order to fundraise, but with the intention to operate as a campaign vendor to avoid working with the Democratic Committee. By creating a scalable infrastructure that candidates can use to run their campaigns, we are able to create a party-like infrastructure that not only endorses and fundraises for candidates, but also provides them with the tools and people necessary to run a successful campaign. Again, Brand New Congress is running Republican candidates in red districts. That is special, is it not? Again, socialists for Trump. Which begs the question, if the goal is to create a party-like infrastructure, what is the purpose of running as Democrats in the first place? It appears access to voter data is the primary motivator. And then there is a substantive discussion of the defeat of Joe Coley in the Bronx, and there is considerable controversy around that as well. We won't have time to go into that, but some of it. Ocasio-Cortez has talked a big game about her upset victory over Joe Crowley, a 10-term congressman on the shortlist to become the next Speaker of the House. In reality, she capitalized on an extremely low primary turnout to eke out a 57% versus 43% or 16,000 versus 12,000 vote victory. And while it is true that the young candidate employed an impressive grassroots canvassing strategy, the devil is in the details, including dirty local politics, vitriolic campaign rhetoric, far-left agitators, and an intensive Facebook advertising blitz in the lead-up to the congressman. And it talks about that, and again, due to the lack of time, I'm going to skip down. The discussion is, frankly, damning. It is also complex. If we had more time, I would go into it. But we will see. There also is a question about all of the out-of-country and out-of-district bots and blogs that have been marshaled in support of various AOC-connected campaigns. Skipping down. What is the point of a blue wave? It is a question Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez posted on Twitter in the month before the primary. It's also a hauntingly familiar sentiment that echoes the hostile anti-Democrat rhetoric that defined Sanders' 2016 primary campaign. For anyone engaging with Ocasio-Cortez's social media posts, the foreign bot and troll activity is noticeably synchronized and pervasive. There's no better example than the hashtag Abolish ICE campaign she championed as her number one primary issue and has helped take national. Much of her social media content has focused on the Abolish ICE solution to immigration reform while accusing boss Crowley, unquote, and other Democrats of being, quote, pro-ICE, unquote. In the 1 month leading up to the June primary, Ocasio-Cortez's campaign spent over $80,000 on Facebook advertising, the largest of her expenditures. And again, I think something we're going to go into in our next show is the illegal immigrant PSYOP, because there is an indication, there are indications, I should say, that the interference in our electoral politics by far-right elements in tandem with elements of the intelligence community appears to be going on, yea, verily, as we speak. Again, I think we are going to hear a lot more about this. I think AOC is like a bomb, and she and Subhas Chandra Chakrabarty are going to blow up big time in the campaign. It may very well hand Donald Trump the victory. Just as Subhas Chandra Bose tried to hand victory to Hitler and Mussolini. However, more about that in our next program. And again, the role of the Internet in things that we will be talking about is front and center. And we're going to move on to the shooters, such as Mr. Crozius, apparently, in Texas. That, however, 2 weeks from today. This concludes For the Record program number 1082, Funky Resumes, supplement to the Socialists for Trump and Hitler, subtitled The Assistance. This is being recorded on August 6th of the year 2019. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.